Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, and we're on the third and as well as the fourth of those seven great I Am statements found in John's Gospel. Back in chapter 6, we saw that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that bread that comes down from heaven that truly gives life, not like the manna that came down from heaven to the children of Israel. They ate of it and they died, and their corpses were there in the wilderness as a testimony to that fact. But the Lord himself is the great bread of heaven, that bread of life, that any man that eats of him shall never die, but shall live forevermore. And we have tasted of him ourselves, and we've enjoyed that. He has strengthened us and sustained us, and we praise the Lord that he is that bread of life. And then in chapters 8 and 9, we saw he's the light of the world, and that light is the giver of life as well. If the sun would stop shining, all life on this planet as we know it would cease to exist. Whether it's plant life or animal life or human life, it would cease to exist immediately. And so that light warms us. It gives us guidance. It gives us direction. It illuminates us and gives us understanding. And it also, as we saw in chapter 9, where the blind man saw for the first time, when the Lord opened his eyes, that he was able to see and understand things that he never saw and understood before. And the Pharisees, who were not blind physically or blind spiritually, were ignorant of those things and didn't know the truth and didn't see the truth and were stumbling about, spiritually speaking, because of their blindness. And so he's that light that comes in the world, and again, it's the giver of life. Here in chapter 10, we're going to see two great I Am statements. I am the door of the sheep, and also I am the good shepherd in the latter part of this chapter, the second part. So let's just read in chapter 10 of John, and we'll read the first 9 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All the inner, or they ever come before me, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We'll stop there for just a moment. The Lord Jesus is a door, and you might have heard the illustration. Some believe that that when the Lord was saying this, he meant that there was that sheepfold, that area that was enclosed either by some kind of stone or rock, enclosed area that the shepherd would bring the sheep into at night after having led them all throughout the day along the streams and along the pastures. And then he would sit in the doorway, and he would sleep there during the night to protect the sheep, to keep them inside and to protect them from the wolves. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. He doesn't actually come out and say that. But obviously he's not talking about I'm a piece of wood, rectangular in shape, that opens the door, closes like the doors that we think of today. But the concept is that I am the door. And what does a door do? Well, a door does for a couple of things. First of all, it keeps things out that we want to keep on the outside, and it keeps things in that we want to keep on the inside, right? We close our doors at night, and sad to say, it didn't used to be this way, but we have to lock them now, and sometimes with several locks. I remember, and some of you probably do as well, there was a time when we never locked our doors. We just shut them, and that was it, you know? And it wasn't, in fact, in the summertime, you just left the doors open all day long. You know, you didn't even worry about it. Sometimes at night, you leave the doors open. My mom's door by her, in her, room, she went out to the porch and she just left that open all night long. We had a screen door there and that was it. We didn't have to worry about it. But today we shut the door, and one of the reasons we shut the door is to keep people out or to keep things out that we don't want to come in. That door provides protection and it provides security to us. And of course, when we have that protection, when we have that security, we're at rest, we're peaceful, our hearts are content, they're tranquil, there's that lack of fear. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us, doesn't He? He's that door that protects us, that provides protection against those that would seek to attack us. That roaring lion, Satan, who goes about seeking whom he may devour, the Lord is the door that keeps us from that roaring lion, from the bear, from those beasts that would come and attack us and seek to do us harm. Think about Noah's Ark as well. Because when Noah built his ark, and after that time period when he was building it, 100, 120 years, whichever you understand that to mean, at the end of that time, the Lord told him to get into the ark. The animals were there. All the provisions were there for that time that they would be there, a year that they would be in that ark. And then when all of Noah's family and all the animals were in, it was the Lord that shut the door. And so it's going to be true as well. It's the Lord that opens and shuts the door as far as eternal life is concerned, isn't it? He's the one that makes that decision, that makes that determination. Who enters in and who doesn't. It's His prerogative and not ours. Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature, friends and foes alike, and allow the Lord to do the work, and He will close the door, and not one single, and when you go to the end of Revelation, it tells us, it gives us a list of different ones, but not one single individual that doesn't have Christ as his Lord and Savior will be able to enter in to that place. And so it'll be a place, again, of peace and security as well, because none of those that hate the truth, that hate the Lord Jesus Christ, that reject Him or neglect the great escape that He has given them will ever be able to enter in. It will be the Lord that will close the door. And He does that for individuals as well. I think there's certain individuals that harden their hearts so much, and we don't know this. We don't know when this time comes, and so we don't make that determination. But I think of there's biblical individuals, Pharaoh is one of them, who hardened his heart over and over again to the point that it was impossible for him to ever be saved. Not because God was incapable of doing it, but because he had hardened his heart and God had given him over and given him over and given him over. And we have that same illustration in the beginning of the book of Romans in chapter 1. So the Lord knows that, doesn't He? He determines that. And so He has that prerogative. He is the door that lets in all those that believe on Him and doesn't allow those to enter in that reject Him or neglect Him. But also a door does something else. It not only is a wall of protection, it not only protects those on the outside from coming in, but it also keeps us inside, doesn't it? In other words, it's that security that we have that we can't go, we can't lose our salvation. We can't in any way do anything that would take us out of that sheepfold, that would take us out of the protective hand of the Lord Jesus. We're inside. Because you do that too. We were down with, I was down with Elizabeth and Jamin the other day just for a short time, stopped in and had just an hour or so with them. And it's interesting that Esther's big enough now that she can open a door. So what they have to do, they leave the front door open. They have a glass storm door there, but they have to lock it. And so that keeps her in, you see. It not only keeps people out that you don't want to get in or things out that you don't want to get in, but it also keeps things in that you want to keep in, right? And so that's the same thing it does. It keeps us safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It keeps us safe in Him. And so that door keeps out and it also keeps in. But it also, a door has another purpose. It's a way to get in and out, isn't it? You can't go in. I mean, if we didn't have doors on this building, we'd all have to crawl in through the windows, or I don't know how we'd get in here. But he talks about that. Those that come in through windows or come in, break in some other way, are thieves and robbers. Those that are uninvited guests, those that are unwelcomed guests. And yet those that are welcome, they come in through the door, the back door, front door. They come in and they go out through that door. And there's an entering in and there's a going out again. And that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus too, isn't it? He's the one that makes that way possible to enter in. Through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the way of escape. And we'll learn later on in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to enter in. So that's what a door does. And so when he says, I'm the door of the sheep, he's that place of safety, he's that place of protection, but he's also that method, that way of entering in and enjoying the benefits of eternal life that we have through him. Well, let's read in verse 10 and through 16, and we'll see the next great I am statement. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so here he talks about this beautiful truth that I am the shepherd and the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, the thing that characterizes him is he lays down his life for the sheep. He's not like the hireling who, when any kind of danger, any kind of trouble comes, he runs off. Because he doesn't really care about the sheep. They're not his. They're not important to him. They're just something that he's taking care of because he's being paid a salary and the amount of money he's paid isn't worth his life. But the shepherd loves the sheep. And he not only loves the sheep, but he knows the sheep and they know him. This is eternal life, he tells us later on in chapter 17, that they might know thee, the only true God, and thy Son Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's what eternal life is all about. An intimate relationship with the Lord. We know him. We are intimately acquainted. We spend time with him. We have precious moments along with the Lord in prayer and the study and reading of his word. We enjoy him. And you know the great thing is, he enjoys us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's easy for us to understand how we can enjoy the Lord, but if you're like me, it's hard to understand, how does he enjoy me? Look at who he is. Look at the greatness of his person, and yet he enjoys and looks forward to spending time with me. He knows his sheep. He wants to spend time with them. He cares for them. He leads them and guides them in the way. So a shepherd, I'm just going to give you five things that a shepherd does. First of all, he protects them. He protects them against attacks of the enemy, attacks of the animals. You think of David when he was there with Saul and Saul was questioning whether he could go up against Goliath, and he rehearsed before Saul the fact that when the lion came and the bear came along, I grabbed them by their beard and I smote them and I struck them and I killed them and none of the sheep died. He put his life on the line. He went up against that animal. He didn't run away. No, he put himself between the enemy and the sheep. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Even as he hung upon the cross, he put himself between us and the wrath of God and against our enemy, Satan. He fought the battle and won the victory. He protects us. He also leads his sheep. He takes them along and guides them. And guides them sometimes to very difficult places for him, across very difficult terrain, but because he wants to take them to those pastures that are green and luscious. He cares about them. He's looking for the best for them and not for himself. And you know, a shepherd, when we were in Spain, you see these shepherds going out with their sheep, and it didn't matter if it was cold, it didn't matter if it was raining, it didn't matter what it was doing. They had to go out every day and take these sheep out and take them to places where they could eat, where they could drink, where they could rest. And that's what a shepherd does. He leads us. He gives us food. He gives us water. He provides for every one of our needs. Everything that we enjoy in this life comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow, James tells us. He gives us every thing we need for life and health. And also he's provided for us eternally, things that we haven't begun to imagine or to think about. So he gives us food, he gives us water, he gives us rest. We find peace to our souls in the Lord Jesus, don't we? And he also cares for us. He binds up our wounds. When we go astray, he comes looking for us. We don't have to go looking for him. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you think about it. When we go astray, the most natural thing is, well, that one's gone astray. Hey, let him come on back, you know? But the Lord says when a shepherd, a good shepherd, when he has 100 sheep and if one of them goes astray, he leaves the 99 and he goes out and he brings that one back. And how does he bring it back? He brings it back carrying it in his arms. And that's what the Lord does, isn't it? When we start to go astray a little bit, the Lord begins to woo us back. He loves us. He cares about us. And He carries us in His arms safely back to the fold. He meets every one of our needs. He cares for us. He gives us safety. He gives us security. He gives us provision. He gives us guidance. And He encourages our hearts. You know? And I think sometimes we as Christians, we're so, I guess just short-sighted. I don't know the right word to say. But it's always interesting in that when we have problems in our lives, so many times we make the mistake, not every time, but so many times we make the mistake of going to other people to give us comfort and care. And not to say that's never right to do, but you know, the first one we ought to go to for comfort and care is the Lord Jesus. And He can use people to do that, absolutely. But the first one we ought to go to is the Lord Jesus, right? And to allow Him to raise up others after that. Because He's really the one that's going to comfort our souls. He's the one that's going to build us up and encourage us again. He's the one that's never going to fail us. People might, but the Lord Jesus Christ will never do that. Well, there's... let's look back at chapter 53 of Isaiah. Because it's interesting, isn't it? That the same one that is the shepherd is also the lamb. John would say, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But here in Isaiah 53, and we'll just read just a few verses, verse 2 of Isaiah 53, and he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we his it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't it interesting? Sheep are dumb animals. They really are. If you left them to themselves, they look down the ground, all they do is they see some more grass over there, they run over there, and they see some more over there, and they would fall off a cliff. They're so dumb animals. They just have no intelligence at all about, you know, knowing where to go, knowing where the limits are. And if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, that's what we're like, aren't we? We are so short-sighted. We are so blinded sometimes. We go headlong into danger. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes along, and He cares for us, and He leads us, and we go our own way. We would. Every one of us would go our own way. We would make all kinds of mistakes. We would do all kinds of things against the will of God, against the Word of God, unless the Lord Jesus Christ would come in and guide us and empower us. You know? Woke up in the middle of the night this last night, and I was just praying. I said, Lord, you know, I just really need your guidance. You know, I just really need, because I just make so many mistakes all the time, and just, you know, error after error in my life. And I think sometimes I get to the point, and maybe some of you have the same difficulty, I get to the point where I think I'm old enough, I'm mature enough, I'm spiritual enough, that I just kind of make these decisions based upon knowledge that I have in my mind and heart. And you can't do that. You know, we've all got to be like children all the time and just utterly dependent, casting ourselves constantly on the Lord, no matter how mature or how knowledgeable you might think we are. Paul said this way, when I think I know something, I realize I don't know anything like I ought to know it. And we ought to never think more highly of ourselves than we should, than what we really are. When it all is said and done, we're just unprofitable servants. We're just creatures that fall short of the glory of God. And so we need His help in our lives. Well, back in chapter 10 of John, he's called the Good Shepherd. That would correspond with Psalm 22. There it talks about him laying down his life for the sheep, because that's what the Good Shepherd does. What characterizes the Good Shepherd? That past ministry, he gave himself for us. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He bore our transgressions in his own body. He was bruised. He was chastised. He was wounded. He died. He suffered for you and me as a good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. He died so that we could live. That's Psalm 22. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, let's turn there real quick. We've just got a couple of verses we're going to look at, and we'll be finishing up. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. And here it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here he's called the great shepherd. And as a great shepherd, it's talking about his present ministry to us as the great high priest, as that great shepherd that enables us, that through that resurrection power equips us, labors alongside with us, and helps us to accomplish the plans and purposes that God has for us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but God had beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. And Timothy tells us that the Word of God is powerful, is inspired, and that it equips us unto every good work. He's the one that empowers us. Isn't that wonderful? He gives us a job to do, and then really he's the one that does it. And he does it through us. And so he's the great shepherd. So that's his present day ministry. The good shepherd speaks of that ministry in the past on the cross of Calvary. Psalm 22 is what it corresponds to. The present day ministry is Psalm 23 that it corresponds to, as a shepherd that leads us right now. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, let me get this right here. 1 Peter. Oh, I was reading the wrong verse. Okay. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, in the context here, he's speaking about elders in the local assembly, leading the flock, guiding the flock, being examples to the flock, feeding the flock, caring for them, and the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, shall give them a crown of glory. But it's not only for them, it's all those that labor for the Lord, all those that serve the Lord. We're all going to receive crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. And so as the chief shepherd, it is his future ministry, that ministry that will take place at the time when we finally see him, when we're in his presence, and he rewards every single one of us according to our faithfulness in the work. Not according to the fruit, because it's the Lord that gives the fruit. If you read in John chapter 15, which we'll read later on, when he talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches, it's God's job to give the fruit. He's the one that gives fruit and more fruit. But it's our job to just be faithful. Just to serve him faithfully. And that's what he's going to ask us. You know, were you faithful in the service? And so as we are faithful, there'd be a crown corresponding with that faithfulness to be cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And that corresponds to Psalm 24. And if you go back and look at these Psalms, you'll see what I mean. There's Psalm 22 is his past ministry. Psalm 23 is his present day ministry. And Psalm 24, he's the one that's going to enter in before us. He's the one that's going to lead us there into glory. And so he is the chief shepherd. He's a good shepherd that lays down his life, the great shepherd that equips us for the ministry, and the chief shepherd that rewards us. And then finally, let's go to Psalm 23. Because the most precious of all these, when he's called the shepherd, is in Psalm 23. And there's where he's called, of course, we know it so well, my shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it's wonderful that he's the good shepherd, and that he's a great shepherd, and that he's a chief shepherd. But I think the most precious truth for all of us is that he's my shepherd. He's the individual's shepherd. He cares about me. He thinks about me. You know, if you just sit and sometimes and contemplate all the vastness of the universe, how expansive it is to the point that no human has ever even contemplated how vast the universe, the number of stars that exist in the heavens. And yet, beyond that is the minuteness of the universe, how tiny and small the atoms and the particles of those atoms that make them up are. And God cares about all of them, and He controls all those things constantly. Constantly. And yet, even in the midst of all that, He cares about me. And His thoughts are constantly towards me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isn't it wonderful? That's how much He cares about us. Oh, brethren, you know, you never get too old. You never get too advanced in your understanding or of your ability in the Word of God to get beyond that simple little truth that we're just little lambs. We're just little sheep. And we have a good shepherd. We have a great shepherd. We have a chief shepherd. But we have one that's called My Shepherd. I think of that song we sing, My Redeemer. And it says, My Redeemer. Let me think how I get the third verse right here. Mine by covenant and mine by blood. But the most precious thought is He's my Redeemer. He cares about me and He meets all my needs. He's the door, the way in and out. Enjoy the blessings of God. He's that one that protects us and keeps us safe from those that would seek to attack us. The one that keeps us in and keeps us secure there. He's the shepherd that provides and protects and leads and guides and meets our every need. He's the one that cares for us. And He loved us. And He gave His life for us.